When the Pentagon directed the military services last month to start conserving funds, it was a pretty good sign that the Pentagon now believes the long-threatened automatic budget cuts will actually take place. Ashton Carter, the deputy defense secretary, gave voice to those fears last week when he acknowledged in an interview with Bloomberg that he believes sequestration now appears more likely than unlikely. But the military's leadership is pressing hard to make sure Congress understands the Pentagon's point of view on what sequestration would actually mean. Robert Work, the Undersecretary of the Navy, is one of the more vocal of those leaders. He tried to get the point across at a San Diego FCA conference last week, saying Congress can't rely on allies to pick up the slack if DOD is forced into sudden cutbacks.
If we have support from our allies, that will be good. But you require the Navy Marine Corps team to be organized, trained, and equipped to win our nation's wars. And we will need a fleet of about 300 ships to do that. And the ships have to be of the right type. They have to be properly manned, and they have to be properly trained, equipped. We have to have the right maintenance, and every damn dollar you keep taking out of our pocket makes it harder for us to do it. If you execute sequestration, the world as we know it will end. We will not have a ready Navy Marine Corps team by the end of this fiscal year. If we have a year-long CR and sequestration triggers with no ability to shift monies, we will have a hollow Navy Marine Corps team by the end of this fiscal year. If you trigger this 5 months into a fiscal year, it truly is kind of the worst thing imaginable.
While Work is famously outspoken, he is not alone in his assessment. The Joint Chiefs of Staff sent a letter to Capitol Hill last month issuing basically the same warning. Admiral James Winnefeld is the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
The chairman, the service chiefs, and I are so worried about it that we recently signed a 28-star letter to Congress on readiness. And we don't sign 28-star letters very often. Under the current budget uncertainty and mechanism for potential cuts, including the fact that the CR is not necessarily balanced properly in terms of its funding bins, we are at serious risk of rapidly sliding into a hollow force.
Most of the near-term problems for the military services revolve around their operation and maintenance accounts. While sequestration would slice all programs equally, cutbacks on acquisition or R&D programs won't create immediate crises for the military, even while they will harm the industrial base and cause procurements to take longer and cost more money. In the operating accounts, though, DOD would suddenly have huge shortfalls in the cash it has available to train troops, buy supplies, fix ships and airplanes, and pay civilian employees. Winnefeld says those are bills the department has to pay.
Part of our challenge is that we can't spread readiness cuts like peanut butter. We have to keep units deploying to our current fight in Afghanistan and for certain other missions, such as strategic deterrence, at the very sharpest possible edge of readiness. So that means the rest of our units will be disproportionately affected. I know how it feels. I had to shut down my F-14 squadron for 3 months back in 1994 when we went through a similar budget crisis. We had to work very hard at the end of that 3 months to get our readiness back, and it's something I don't want our force to have to go through again.
But if current law holds, Winnefeld claims that's inevitably where the military is headed.
Army brigade combat teams, as one example, are looking to lose at least 30% of their readiness capability this year. And you can't deploy like that. This means that we'll only be able to cover the conflicts that we're in and respond to the highest of the high national security interests. There could be, for the first time in my career, instances where we may be asked to respond to a crisis, and we will have to say that we cannot.
The Pentagon, like the rest of government, has no budget for this year. It's operating on an autopilot version of the spending approval it got the year before, and so far it doesn't have the authority to move money from low priorities to high priorities. So it's already planning to cancel all aircraft and ship maintenance in the third and fourth quarter of this year in an effort to conserve cash. Training funds are already being cut back for military members who are not next in line to deploy overseas.
It may initially seem like we're crying wolf on this, because carriers will still deploy here in the near future. We may not see the global impact of this until late this year or early next year, because the forces deploying the soonest are already ready. They have been prepared, and they can go. But there are many forces that will not be able to start their training now, and therefore they will be sidelined, grounded, tied to the pier, and they will not be able to deploy if we don't have the proper resources to make them ready to go.
With the limited amount of room the military services have to maneuver within their operating budgets, spending that is not directly tied to immediate war fighting is not on the priority list. Terry Halverson, the Navy Department's chief information officer, is looking for ways to handle a 25% cut in Navy and Marine Corps IT spending this year. That's on top of a five-year effort to cut back on IT by the same percentage.
We're going to make some very short-term decisions that are not going to be good in the long term. An ugly way to put it, but how can you help me make the least dumb decisions quicker? It is where we're at. We're going to do some things in the short term that don't make sense. We have to make them. There is a cash flow issue. There's a savings issue we're going to have to get to if all of this happens, the sequestration and the CR, and it will force us to make some immediate decisions that will have long-term consequences. We need to understand that, and we need to understand what are the best ones to make. You wouldn't make them in any other financial situation, but you're going to make them today. How do you do that?
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.